Mad World Europe is your best learning and professional development opportunity of the year. The conference debuts this September in Prague, Czech Republic, and features industry thought leaders from organizations such as Visa, Nestle, and TCOM. Full schedule and event details can be found at www.madcapsoftware.com.
This is the Chairleaf Podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to the Chairleaf Podcast. We're going to look at, in this episode, policies and procedures and how we can use single sourcing. And single sourcing is one of these things that technical communicators do and understand and do a lot, but it's quite tricky for other people to grasp. And we've talked in a previous episode about one way of doing that by making an analogy between it and spreadsheets. Now, a while ago, we did a survey and asked on a number of social media platforms about the common mistakes that organisations make with policies and procedures. And we posted a blog post on the responses that we got. So let's start off by looking at some of the responses that came from that survey. And they tended to fall into a number of categories. One was really just lack of management, not defining what the company wanted to do, not understanding how staff did things and not enforcing them. And then the other aspect related to presenting policies and procedures and very much a theme of lack of consistency, lack of clarity. But I'll read out some of the responses first, and then we'll look at single sourcing. And there's going to be a YouTube video or video on YouTube to accompany this as an illustration of how you can single source policies and procedures and what it means, trying to visually demonstrate it. So we had this post, what are the most common mistakes organisations make with their policies and procedures? And Rahel Bailey said, creating reactive policies, for example, in response to one employee's transgression, instead of going up one conceptual level and thinking through the bigger picture. And Rhonda Bracey said, not having any. Craig Wright said, not including any context. I've seen people question policies and ignore them because they don't understand the reason or benefit of the policy. Dee said, thinking that a list of where documentation is stored and the tools used to edit them constitutes a documentation strategy. Having senior managers who think they know about documentation when in fact they know very little. And Eric Weston said, I think the most common mistake is in two parts. One, organisations try to document and codify things too early, or things are too chaotic and changing, resulting in wasted effort. And he says this applies more to procedures than to policies. And the second was, organisations use inefficient documentation tools and review processes, so policies and procedures are out of date from the moment they're published, too hard to find, understand and use, and are too hard to update. Thus, they consume a lot of effort, yet are untrusted and underused. Anna Hutchinson said not having any and not valuing what there is. Amber said disregarding them as red tape or toot that applies to others and not them or their team. And basing them on existing documents and not doing any research to produce something new and more effective. Eleanor said not enforcing them. You can write these until you're blue in the fingers. But if they're never followed, it's a complete waste. Jackie said inconsistent structure, lack of template, or failure to apply the template, failure to maintain over time. The content isn't findable. There's the wrong level of detail for the end user. There's no defined end user, or there are too many end users. Maggie said creating all the policies and procedures in their own vacuums, so you end up with conflicting information, or the corollary having too many to follow, and then not having any training to teach new hires. Megarishi said writing without process discovery. Tim said failure to understand the cultural shifts that technical changes invoke. John Kearney said failing to write them in the first place, failing to update them, not having a skilled writer or editor to look over them, not having a consistent structure, not publishing or promoting them effectively, filling them with jargon, terminology, on the assumption that everyone in the organisation understands, using bullets instead of numbers or vice versa, and so on. And Mark Baker said failure to refactor their tools and processes to automate as much as possible and to establish clear visibility and feedback for the things they cannot automate. You can write policies and procedures until you turn blue, but if they depend on people remembering to do things that have no impact on their own work and whose consequences are not visible to them, then you're not going to get effective compliance. And scolding is not feedback. Feedback is seeing the consequences of your actions in real time or as near to real time as you can make it. If you can't see the results of your actions, you will not do the action correctly. So Mark says, refactor your processes so that the consequences of actions are visible to the people who do them. Automate what can be automated and make visible what can be made visible. And you won't have to write down much. In fact, you should regard the stuff you can't automate or make visible and therefore have to write down as a sign of failure. Don't devote your efforts to writing it down better. Devote your efforts to refactoring your processes so you don't have to write them down. And Edwin says, besides what Mark said, also no review and rollback mechanism. I've seen companies roll out policy and process changes based on industry best practices without running a pilot. When it becomes clear to everybody that it was a stupid decision and that the change was actually regressive, they plough along anyway, because the plan didn't include a period of review and analysis and possible rollback. So yes, there are some aspects which are around really management and understanding, and then others about the process of communication. At the start of this podcast, I mentioned that we'd put together a demonstration of how you can improve policies and procedures by taking a topic-based approach and single sourcing. So let's have our commercial break. And then after the commercial break, let's listen to the audio of that YouTube demonstration.
Madcap Flare offers cutting-edge technical authoring and publishing capabilities for today's technical writers and content developers, with advanced features to maximize authoring efficiency, content reuse, and multi-channel publishing. By combining Madcap Central's cloud-based collaboration, publishing, and content management functionality, authors can improve content quality, gain greater insight into tasks and production schedules, work collaboratively with teams, host content, and automate processes. Madcap Flare and Madcap Central, combining the power of desktop authoring with cloud-based collaboration, publishing, and content management. Learn more at www.madcapsoftware.com.
Welcome back. One common feature with technical documentation, online help and help for applications, and the work done by technical authors is a concept of content reuse or single sourcing, the ability to have one bit of information and use it in different places and to publish content across different media and publish them in different ways. And that's common within user documentation, but it isn't very common within other types of business content. And that's partly because it's tricky to understand and tricky to explain to people. So what I want to do is see if I can explain it in the context of policies and procedures and how it could be used in that particular setting. So for a lot of organisations, they write policies and they write procedures and they publish them as printed material using Word, or they publish them as PDFs or one page on an internet, one long HTML page. And typically a policy or a procedure will look something like this. This is one for using company mobile phones. So you'll have a whole set of different topics in it. You'll have a document control section to provide information on who approved the policy, when it was approved, when it was last checked, who it affects. And the sort of work that we will do in taking policies and procedures and improving them for organisations, or teaching people how to write policies and procedures in better ways so they're clearer and easier to find. The way that we'll do that is often focusing on converting the information or writing in a way that you have self-contained chunks of information. That means that when you have a section about why you need a policy on mobile phones, you have information that explains why you need it, and the only information that goes into that section on why you need it is that related information. If you talk about something different, it goes into a different section. If you have an anti-discriminatory practice, a policy that you don't discriminate based on age or religion or gender, you have a section and you only talk about that. And so you have these blocks of information, roles and responsibilities, which only talks about the different people or different roles and what they're responsible for, what's in and outside of scope of the policy, and so on. Now, a downside of this approach is you've got one document for every audience. And often with policies and procedures, you have different audiences. You've got the top senior management that want to check that there are rules and checks and balances in place. You've got regulators or auditors that want to check that it conforms to certain standards, or again, that there are mechanisms to check that people conform. And then you've got the staff themselves who really want to know, for example, if we're talking about an email, I want to take this file on my USB stick. I want to send this file to somebody. How do I do it in an appropriate way? So let me show you how this can be done in the way of single sourcing. And I'll show you a number of outputs from different tools. And there are different tools out there that you can use. Some are cloud-based, some are Windows-based applications, some are running on your internet server base that run with Apache servers. There's different ways that it can be done. So we have these chunks of information that we've written to in our document. And if we move it to online to these tools, what we can do is we can break those chunks of information into self-contained blocks of text. So we have a big bucket of content, all the different information. And in this example, we've got topics relating to two policies, a policy on portable media and a policy on how to send email. And these are based on some policies for an NHS trust. And so we have these self-contained chunks of information and we only talk about that one thing in them. So when it comes to writing an email policy, what we can do with these tools is we can pick the topics that we want in our email policy and we can drag them across into the document that we want to create. So some of these tools call them collections. Some of these tools call them tables of contents, others call them books. There's different terminology. So we pick the different topics that we want in our document and we can hit publish. And what can be created then is an online document with all of the policies and procedures, in this case, published as a web page. We talked about the anti-discriminatory practice and the fact that that appears in more than one document. In this situation, what we're doing is we're dragging our topic of the anti-discriminatory practice into our email policy, and we can drag exactly the same topic into our portable media policy. And what this means is we can write our anti-discriminatory practice in one place. And if we make a change here, then depending on which tool you're using and we save it, in some of the tools that change will automatically ripple through to all of the documents, all of the policies and procedures that are using that particular piece of information. In some of the other tools, there's an extra step where you have to publish, republish to make that appear. There's pros and cons for doing that around approval processes as to whether you'd want to do that or not, but that's the idea. When it comes to the procedures that people do in their day-to-day job, they don't want all of the different policy manuals or pages open at the same time relating to portable media relating to email. They want one single set of instructions that tell them what to do. By having this idea of reusable chunks of information that you can apply, you can create different views into the information. So you can still have your policy for the auditors, for senior management, with all of the document control information. You also have the ability to create specific guides relevant to different roles within the organisation. So we can take our email policy and we can take our portable media policy, and when we're writing a procedure on how to send an email, we can include in our procedure the basic email policy, the basic managing portable media policy, and then provide links out to more detailed information. So when they're sending an email, you can make people aware of your antivirus policy, your portable media policy, your email policy, provide that within your particular procedures without just having a simple link or replicating information, having people having to go and look at all these different bits of information. So what we've done to write the how to send an email procedure is we've included the basic policy for the email and the portable media when we've created this procedure, this guide for somebody. So we can provide other ways of navigating into information, different routes in. So we can create a flowchart from beginning to end of a process that people can see, that see the big picture, and then they can click and then they can get to specific detail on things. In this case, this is a guide to managing a project. And if we want to go more sophisticated, there are tools by which we can mark up sections of text. So we can mark up this text for what happens pre-Brexit, and we can mark up text what happens to something post-Brexit in our authoring tool. And then we can provide different ways of information appearing or not appearing depending on different criteria. This can be different conditions, it might be different offices, different locations where information differs between different locations, different countries, or by different roles, what you're entitled to in terms of benefits depending on your job seniority, job level. That's another way that this can be used. And here's another tool where we've got a mobile phone policy as we had before, but we can also provide another set of navigation routes by different job roles. So the line manager may not need to make a claim for mobile phones, but some people may be coming to them asking for approval for different things or going to the finance department to pay for personal calls. So they need to be aware that what policies and procedures involve them, that affect them. So in this case, whoever's paying for a private call, they contact the finance department. So this idea of breaking our content into different chunks of information, reusable blocks, and then dragging them in to different publications, collections, so we can provide different views in based on different audiences, that we can reuse content. It's a very powerful way that technical authors use with content for help within a wider context. For policies and procedures in particular, it can also be very effective in ensuring a company has consistent approaches and can personalise or orientate information for different audiences rather than having this one document for all the different audiences. So that's the YouTube video audio track. We'll include in the show notes a link to the video itself so you can watch it, you can see the pictures as well as the sounds. So finally, thank you for listening. If you'd like to rate us on iTunes, that would be wonderful because that helps increase and promote the visibility of this podcast to others. Otherwise, info@cherryleaf.com if you've got any comments or suggestions. And finally, thank you for listening. I think that's it. Thank you for listening.